Sex is the life force energy that runs through us all. Can you use sexual energy for your spiritual evolution, or perhaps for emotional healing? Is it even possible? Clinical sexologist Dr. Martha Tara Lee will explore all these and more on Eros Evolution on Om Times Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Eros Evolution. This is where sexuality and spirituality meets. My name is Martha. I'm a clinical sexologist with a doctorate in human sexuality, and I'm from Eros Coaching. That's eroscoaching.com. In today's show, we are talking about healing from child sex abuse, and we are with Brooke Woon. She has a bachelor in psychology and a postgrad in counseling, postgrad in psychology. And we're talking about the impact of child sex abuse that can last a long time after the abuse has finished. Further conversation, we'll explore practical ways to heal from child sex abuse and create a happy, fulfilling life. Brooke believes that no matter what happens, it is always possible to heal. She is a passionate advocate for victims of child sex abuse and an educator on the subject. She works as a psychologist with adults and child victims of child sex abuse, male and female perpetrators of child sex abuse. And she's the author of the book, I Believe You, How to Heal from Child Sex Abuse, which was written for adult survivors of child sex abuse. And also being embraced by practitioners who help these victims. So Brooke has worked with people who have lived through trauma, depression, anxiety, eating disorders, phobias, ADHD, social difficulties, addictions, sexuality and intimacy challenges, relationship, family and anger issues, parenting struggles, intellectual impairment, and more. So she's worked with various mental health programs, community and government agencies, including the Western Australian Police Force, and has had her own practice. She has extensive experience in individual, couple, and child counseling. She enjoys public speaking, creating and running workshops, and support groups on a variety of mental health issues and self-help topics. So you can find out more about Brooke by going to her website. That's brookwoon.com. That's Brooke with an E and W-O-N.com. So welcome to the show, Brooke.
Thank you, Martha. Good morning.
Morning. So you are in Perth?
I am, Perth, Australia.
Yes. It's so Perth has the same time as Singapore. Beautiful. Yeah. Yes. So it's 4 a.m. in Perth and 4 a.m. in Singapore, and we're up because we are passionate about talking about this topic and also with helping more people. So tell us more a little bit about, you know, I just read about your background and everything. So what I understand from your profile is that you used to have a practice. You don't have a practice anymore.
No, I loved having my own practice. It was a creative endeavour of mine. I could kind of run it how I wanted and have beautiful clients. It was a lot of fun, but I've taken the last few years off to write my book and research my book because I've got some couple young children and I wanted to be at home for them. So this was the ideal project for me to kind of accumulate all the information that I'd gathered over the last 20 years of working with people and do some extra research and put it all together in a book. So it was
yeah, and I have your book. I love it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. A lot of heart and soul went into that book.
Yes. So
it's something that I wanted to do for probably 20 years. I thought about writing that book, but I just, you know, needed to get to the point where I'd, you know, worked with people that had been through it and worked with offenders and done my research and felt I knew enough about it to really do a good job. So it took me a long time till I got to that point where I wrote the book. So it was very exciting to be able to put that to completion.
How's the response for the book?
It's been all positive so far, as far as I know. So it's been really well received. So that's exciting. You know, I'm glad that it's just another tool that's out there that can help people that have been through this, or help people that are working with people that have been through this. So it seems to be a combination of those two that are getting benefit from the book. So the book was actually written for adult victims of child sexual abuse, but a lot of practitioners seem to be using it. So that's a lovely surprise.
That's great. So so for the benefit of listeners, how would you describe child sex abuse?
Well, I mean, I would describe it in very general terms, because there's so many, unfortunately, there's so many different ways that a child could be sexually abused. But really, it's sexual abuse happens to a child when a child's used sexually in any way, I believe. So I could change a child's nappy, and my intent is innocent, and really I'm just changing a nappy. But if I was a female perpetrator and I was changing a nappy, that exchange, which would look relatively normal to another person, or completely normal to another person, for me, if I'm a perpetrator of child sexual abuse, has become something else. It's I'm using that child to either groom them, or for my own gratification, or to get power over that child to meet my needs. So it can, you know, I would just use it in those general terms, just in case, you know, a lot of people have, you know, felt like they've been touched inappropriately, or something has happened to them, but they're not sure, is that child sexual abuse or not? And I just always say, trust your intuition, go with your gut. You know your body, you know what feels right, and you know what doesn't feel right. So it's all about the intent of the abuser, really, as well.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
So that's very important to differentiate the intent to abuse.
Yeah, the intent, and also I guess, you know, child sexual abuse isn't, you know, you don't have to, it's not really about sex for the perpetrator. Child sexual abuse is really about power and control, and people do it to have power and control over somebody who's completely vulnerable. So that's an important part of the definition as well. I think it's not a physical thing, just it's also an emotional thing. It's also a power and control thing.
So, in your opinion, what are some of the long-term effects of child sex abuse?
Well, it really depends on the individual person. So, I mean, just like any trauma in life, everybody's going to cope with it a little bit differently, or be affected a little bit differently, depending on what the trauma was, who it was by, whether they had support people around them at the time. A really big indicator of how it's going to affect somebody is whether they were able to tell somebody at the time, and whether they were believed, and whether they were protected. So a lot of the people that really struggle as they get older are people that were abused, and, you know, maybe told their mum or their dad, or their school teacher, or if they were in an institution, told people within the institution. And then they were either told that they were promiscuous, that it was their fault, or they weren't believed. And this really adds to the shame of the person. And they can bring that shame on as if there's something wrong with them, and that they end up feeling shameful within themselves, and that can really affect their self-esteem. So shame is a massive one with child sexual abuse. And, you know, even though victims have absolutely not in any way responsible, they've done nothing wrong, they're children. It's if an adult decides to abuse a child, it's completely the adult's fault. There's often this shame that just kind of seeps in and affects how they feel about themselves and what kind of relationships they choose and whether they decide to block out the shame with using drugs and alcohol or you know, trying to look beautiful if they're women with plastic surgeries and things like that. You know, it can affect because of the effect on self-esteem and because it affects how safe we feel in the world. Because when we're children, we're really learning about the world and we're learning how we expect to be treated and we're learning whether the world is a safe place and we're learning whether our needs are going to be met or we're learning whether we're going to be abused or not. It just kind of sets us up for life. So it can really, really affect adults if it's not kind of brought out in the open and healed. It can cause depression, anxiety, food disorders. I don't like that word disorders, but you know, issues with overeating to kind of numb the pain and to put some layers of protection on us, or the opposite, it can lead to anorexia or bulimia because you don't want to feel womanly and you just don't feel good about your body and your body just feels icky because you know you've got that memory of abuse. That can lead to nightmares, it can lead to not feeling safe in relationships or choosing relationships that feel familiar but aren't safe. You know, there's that dynamic of abuse there that's been set up from childhood. It can lead to sexual issues, a whole array of things, but it can also lead to being a more understanding, compassionate person because you've been through that and you know what it's like to suffer. If you see somebody else suffering, you can have more compassion and understanding for that person. So it can also make you a better, stronger, more resilient person once you've done your healing. It's kind of a long answer.
Yeah, that's a good answer though. So yes, we have a break and we'll come back after this break.
Thank you.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Eros Evolution. You are listening to Eros Evolution on the OM Times Radio Network. And you can share this show with your friends by going to the link omtimes.com/mobile. With this link, you'll be able to listen to the show without needing to download any app. So that makes you really cool. And we are with Brooke Wound, and we're talking about healing from child sex abuse. Just before the break, we were defining what child sex abuse is and some of the long-term effects of child sex abuse. So moving from there, how do you feel being sexually abused as a child will affect a person's sexuality as they become adults, Brooke?
Wow, that's such a massive question, Martha. It can really affect everybody a little bit differently. So there's not kind of one size fits all answer for that. And I also find that healing's like taking, you know, layers off an onion, and you take one layer off and go through a bit of healing and everything's going along fine, and then something will happen and there's an opportunity for another layer of healing. So I found, you know, personally in my own life, that because I've also been through this myself, that, you know, in regards to my sexuality, I'm really happy and everything's going fine in my personal life. And then there's been a couple key times in my life where I've needed to do that deeper healing, and that has affected the way that I think about myself sexually and my sex life. And I think that if this is affecting your sex life, it's really, really important just to be gentle with yourself and know that this is happening for a reason, that these memories are coming up for a reason, and, you know, they're memories of sexual trauma as a child. And so if you are in a sexually intimate relationship, that this is going to be a trigger for you, and that's normal, and it's not going to last forever. And so hopefully you've got a lovely partner that you can talk to about it and let them know what's happening and have some really clear boundaries so that they'll understand if you're getting a flashback or a memory or you're just feeling unsafe, and that they'll know that it's got absolutely nothing to do with them. But, you know, at the moment, sex is understandably a trigger for you. Some people can go through their whole life after being sexually abused, and it really doesn't seem to affect them adversely in any way in regards to their sexuality. And other people find it really hard to even be intimate with a partner. They find it hard to even sleep in the same bed as their partner overnight, or to have sexual relationships, or they might pick up a bit of a sexual addiction, which can be soul-destroying. It's such a hard thing to go through. It really can affect people in a lot of different ways. And I guess that if you're struggling with how you feel about yourself sexually, or if you're struggling with your sex life, it's okay that you feel like that. It's normal that you feel like that. This is part of the healing process. And if you can find, you know, a really good counsellor or psychologist that specialises in child sexual abuse, and just have a chat to them about it, about what you're going through. And unfortunately, one of the other side effects of child sexual abuse is that people can be physically damaged. So by the physical experience. So, you know, if it is painful, ongoing, it's always good to get it checked out medically as well, and just cover all bases and just really look after yourself and be gentle with yourself regarding it.
So one of the things that happens with people who are sexually abused, like you mentioned, is they have varying degrees of effects. And when their sexuality gets shut down, they should work with a therapist. So how do they go about finding one that they can make sure is going to be having a positive sex attitude?
Well, I think it's of my personal opinion is that if this is something that is really sensitive for you and really difficult to talk about, it's really important to pick somebody who's had a lot of training in the area. And in most countries, they have government-funded programs where their counsellors or psychologists or social workers have been trained specifically in this area so that they understand the complications and the complexities of this type of abuse. But I think really if you're picking a therapist, you know they're right for you because you feel safe, you feel comfortable, even though the therapeutic process itself can be really challenging. But you can feel yourself opening up and healing. You can feel yourself putting the pieces of the puzzle together and feeling better about yourself and sorting your life out and getting things on track. And, you know, it's really important that they get you and that you don't feel judged. But there's also so many different ways to heal. I mean, this might sound bizarre to you, but I mean, one of the things that I did for my own healing, because I had shut down myself sexually a little bit, unbeknown to me, I had no idea. But I thought, you know, I just want to feel freer with my sexuality. You know, this is something that should be celebrated. It's normal. It's part of being human, and it's a beautiful, lovely thing to experience. And I just wanted to not felt like I had to protect my sexuality or keep it, you know, within me or just within me and my partner. So I actually did pole dancing at a dance studio, and that for me was really therapeutic, you know, being around other women, and we just, you know, lots of fun music, and we danced, and I've always done some kind of dancing, and we just, you know, celebrated being women. It was an all-women studio, and that really helped me come out of my shell as well. And I did that for years, and it was a great way to express myself openly in front of other people that weren't my partner, and just feel more confident with my body. So I think with healing, there's not one way to fit everybody. Really follow your intuition, and if you feel really guided to do that dance class or do a yoga class or go see a specific counsellor or talk to a trusted person who's proven themselves to be trusted, it might be your bestie, go for it, because you deserve all the support that you can muster. Life's to be enjoyed and celebrated. So bringing in the right support for yourself is, you know, something that everybody deserves.
Yeah, that's really useful and practical and very reassuring to let listeners know that different people heal in different ways, and to find therapists and to find ways that works for you. And yeah, I really appreciate what you've been sharing so far. And one of the questions that I just like to ask quickly, we have 3 minutes to break, is what do you see the link between our sexuality and our spirituality?
Absolutely. Our sexuality is an expression of our essence, you know, and our essence is our spirit. And I personally believe that we're physical bodies here, but we're all spirits in our bodies, and we're here to learn and evolve in greater levels of love. And there's all different ways that we evolve and learn about ourselves and each other. So I think you can't even separate the two. We're one. So if we're not feeling good about our sexuality, we're not feeling good about ourselves. So that's something that we deserve to have healed and feel good about. And if we have been abused,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, you cut out. You know, if we have been abused, it's important to know that somebody did something bad to us. We're not bad. We were innocent. We did nothing wrong, and there's nothing wrong with our sexuality. Our sexuality is beautiful.
Thank you for that. That's a really important message, and you've captured it very succinctly. So I really appreciate that. So we're going to have a break in 2 minutes. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the question of long-term effects of child sex abuse?
Well, on the subject of sexuality, sometimes people who have been sexually abused as children can, because sex has been introduced to them at such a young age, they can become, a bit sexualized, and as adults they can become, you feel that their main way of getting attention is through their sexuality, and they can actually build their self-esteem on whether people react to their sexuality, and they can dress in ways that, bring their sexuality to the forefront without really knowing their full worth as a person. So it can affect people kind of both ways. So I guess if anything's out of balance, there's something to look at, whether you feel a compulsion to have sex with a lot of people and to get attention because of the way that you look and your sexuality. Or it could be the opposite, where you feel like you need to shut yourself down and close yourself off. Or if people see your sexuality, it feels unsafe for you. You know, they can both be indicators that you're ready to heal.
Yeah. So it's really important to talk about the other side of the spectrum as well. Yes. So we have a break, and we'll come back and talk with Brooke Boone again.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
What's up? This is Brad and Mike from Linkin Park. For Lifebeat, the music industry fights AIDS. Listen up, times are tough and you get a lot of things thrown your way. If you're being pressured to have sex and you're not ready, then say no. If you're having sex, be smart and use protection. Respect yourself and protect yourself.
For more information, call the National AIDS Hotline at 1-800-342-AIDS or log on to www.lifebeat.org.
And we are into halfway of the show today with Arrow's Evolution, where we always explore the link between sex and spirit. In today's episode, we're talking about healing from child sex abuse with Brooke Woon. And you can find her at brookewoon.com. That's BROKEWON.com. You can also find her on Twitter, Brooke Woon. And on Facebook, she has a page called Healing from Child Sex Abuse. And Brooke is the author of the book I Believe You, How to Heal from Child Sex Abuse, which is written for adult survivors of child sex abuse, and also being embraced by practitioners who help these victims. And in today's show so far, we've also talked about the effects of child sex abuse on one's sexuality as they become adults. And so for now, I'd like to ask Brooke if it's okay to share with listeners a little bit about your personal experience of how being abused as a child has affected you. And we know that your personal experience and your professional work has led you to writing the book. So, so a little bit of a personal story, if it's okay.
Sure. It did happen to me as a child. It had a massive impact on the type of person that I am on all levels. I was abused by more than one person, and one of the people was somebody that I really should have been able to trust, and that affected me a lot. It affected my self-esteem and what I thought I was worth. When I was younger, I had really, really poor self-esteem, basically because that's how I was treated badly. I was treated like I was worthless. The person that, the primary person that sexually abused me would, as part of the grooming process, say things to keep me small. So I was put down a lot. I was told a lot that I'd only ever be good for one thing with men, and men would only want one thing from me, never to think that I was worth anything. And, you know, when you're kind of told this over and over from a young age, it becomes a part of your belief system. So for me, as a child being so young, I was just developing my thoughts and my ideas about the world and what I thought about myself and where I fitted into everything. So these negative messages, by the way that I was treated and by what I was told, and often what I was told while I was being abused, it kind of set up my belief system about myself and what I thought I believed and what I would attract in the world. So I had to consciously do some really big healing to turn my life around and the way that I thought about myself around. So that's the way that it kind of affected me in a negative. I became very protective of myself in my relationships, my intimate relationships. I think I've only been on one or two dates that hasn't ended in a long-term relationship. I became really fussy about who I was with, and I needed to know that they were committed to me before I would think about being sexual with them. So it affected me in that way, but it also helped me, choose some, loving partners and be really fussy about who I let into my life. So I guess that's a positive. And also positively, it affected me because I just had this really deep compassion for anybody who had been abused as a child, and anybody who had been really vulnerable and were unable to protect themselves and been through a trauma like this. And I wanted to help people that had been through something that I'd been through, and it's actually what led me to become a psychologist. And I think that it made me a much more empathetic psychologist. I've got 3 degrees and I'd done all my research and I had that clinical background. But I think what made me really connect with people was my compassion. And I think I had that compassion because of all the trauma that I'd been through as a child and all the healing that I had to do in myself to get to a place where, I felt good about myself and I felt worthy, and I was, a contributing member of the community. And, because I had been through that, I also had the knowing that, if I can get through this, anybody can. So I came in with that framework that it's always possible to heal. Everybody deserves to be healed. Everybody deserves to be happy. And we can do this together. You know, I'm there to support you through that. So it changed me in a lot of positive ways as well.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I imagine that it can be really vulnerable to put yourself out there all the time and to keep sharing this again and again. For some people, it may feel like reliving it. And I know you've been doing this for a really long time. I just really want to acknowledge you, and I want you to know that, as a woman, I really feel for you. I mean, of course, we wish this never happened to you, and yet it's so clear that you have a lot of compassion, and it has led you to also in turn help a lot of people. So, yeah, thank you so much for having courage and for showing up.
Thank you. I don't find it very easy to talk about still. So, and I guess, even though I've been working in this area for so long, I don't talk about myself in those situations. So, it is a vulnerable thing, and I still do feel vulnerable talking about it. And I think I'm probably always going to feel like that. But if we don't talk about it, there's going to be that stigma that's attached to it. It needs to be a subject that we can openly talk about it, so that everybody that's been through this can access the help that they need, and that it's not going on behind closed doors. I think that one of the reasons that the statistics are so high, which are unbelievable, 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 6 boys. And after working with men, I actually think that it's the same amount of little boys that have been abused as girls. That's just my personal opinion from the people that I have worked with. I've worked with a lot of ex-offenders, that have done really violent crimes, and a lot of those men have, pretty much all of them, had said to me that they had been sexually abused, or mentioned something that I would take as being sexually abused as a child, even if they didn't identify that as being sexually abused. So I guess that's why I talk about my story and why I wrote the book. And I hope that, in time to come, that this is going to be a subject that is a lot easier to talk about, and that's openly received and can be a part of normal conversation, so that this doesn't keep going on behind closed doors, and we don't keep what's happened to us to ourselves and not get the healing that we need.
Yeah, there's so much shame around it, and this is something that happens at home, and it happens very often with people that you know. And so there's so many layers of shame, and like you said, with the grooming, there's so much of that power and control over someone who's usually bigger and older and a figure of authority. So yes, thank you for sharing your personal story. Is it okay to elaborate a little bit more on this concept of power over someone?
Oh yeah, you've really hit the nail on the head there, Martha. You've said some really important things there that are primary to child sexual abuse. As I mentioned earlier, child sexual abuse, it's not about sexual gratification. A lot of the times when somebody's raped, the perpetrator doesn't actually ejaculate, because it's not actually about sexual gratification. It's about violating somebody. It's about having a power and control and over somebody and humiliating them. And that's why they do it. And the grooming process is a massive part of that. For many pedophiles, the grooming process is just as elating as the child sexual abuse itself. And that's just not grooming the actual victim. It's grooming the people that are responsible for protecting that victim. So, you know, a perpetrator might groom all their work employees and infiltrate a community such as a church or a sports club or anything where there's going to be vulnerable children or lots of children around. They can infiltrate whole families. And that grooming process is alerting to them because they're able to fool people. They're able to control people like puppet masters. And that's why they do it. It's they do it for a combination of things because they're unlike most people, they're able to override their conscience. So everybody's capable of child sexual abuse, but most of us choose not to do that because of our conscience. So they're able to override their conscience. They're able to do this and not feel guilty. And more than that, they do it because they're weak, and the only way that they can feel powerful is by abusing and humiliating somebody that's more vulnerable than them, somebody that is unable to protect themselves. So the child is really the path of least resistance because they are completely vulnerable and they can't protect themselves against a manipulative, a big, powerful adult who's often known to them, who's often, who is always an authority figure just because they're an adult. So they've got that position of power and the child is helpless. And it's really important to remember that if you have been through this, because it's whatever they said to you that made you feel bad about yourself was part of the grooming process to keep you stuck so that they could abuse you, keep abusing you, and to keep you silent so you wouldn't talk about the abuse, so that you'd feel so powerless that you wouldn't go and tell another adult and another adult and another adult and another adult until you were heard. You know, they like to keep you small, and that's a really key part of the abuse and why they do it.
Yeah, this is such a heavy subject, and we have a break, and we'll come back after that for the last minute of the show. Stay tuned.
The best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
And I'm Susan Schuler.
And I'm Lori Walker.
And we are
the Psychic Angel Channelers
from Angel Talk Tuesday.
Tune in every week at 10 a.m. Eastern on ohmtimesradio.com.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Bathe in the beautiful vibrational frequency to help you heal, expand, and remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us, all of us,
to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
And welcome back to Eros Evolution. This is where we explore the link between sex and spirit. And today we're talking about healing from child sex abuse. And this is the last 15 minutes of today's show. Just before the break, Brooke was sharing her very brave and vulnerable personal story of her experience of being abused as a child. And we talked about the power and control that perpetrators do, and how this is what they do as part of the grooming is to make sure that the child feels small and doesn't go around telling people. And so the messages of worthlessness is really more about power over someone. So for this part, I would really like to ask for to move to a more positive light, to talk about some other techniques, tools, tips that you have, Brooke, with regards to how someone who's gone through something like that can begin to heal themselves. Or perhaps listeners know of people who have been abused before and would like to be able to offer some kind of support or assistance. Like, what are some of the things that are useful when it comes to healing?
Thanks, Martha. Yeah, this is so important, because everybody deserves to have a happy and fulfilled life, and it's why we're here. Our destiny isn't to feel bad about ourselves. It's to feel joy and love and be excited by life and create, and that is available to everybody, and it's meant for us. It's our destiny. It's there for everybody, and it's always possible for everybody. So, I've worked with people that, are really unwell, that, haven't left the house in over a decade and people like that. And what I know for a fact is it's always possible to change. It's always possible to heal, and it's always possible to create that happy life that you've always dreamt of. It's step by step, though. So sometimes people get a bit frustrated and say, "Well, I'm 60 and I'm still not healed, and or I've never dealt with this." And that's okay, because it's your timetable, it's your life. It's not anybody's timetable but yours. It's not anybody's life but yours. You've got to do what's personally right for you, and just know that you are always in the process of healing, and that life gives you a constant opportunity to heal, and it gives you a constant opportunity for lessons to be learned, which will accelerate your healing. And I think having a mentality where you just are gentle with yourself and just say, let's do this, let's heal, let's step by step create that life that I want, before you know it, you can get there. It's kind of like the analogy I like to use is, if you just imagine your healing as a staircase, if you try to jump to the top of the staircase, well, it's going to be really hard, and you might fall on the way, and that just puts a whole lot of stress on you. But if you just take one step, have a break, take it in, absorb things, and when you feel like it, take another step. Before you know it, you're going to be at the top of that staircase, and it's just going to be a natural evolution, something that's in rhythm to where you're at and how quickly you walk and move and are processing that particular lesson. So, I would just say that we're all works in progress. We're all healing. Even people that look really together, you don't know their history, you don't know what they've gone through to get to that point, you don't know what they go through when they go home, you don't, necessarily understand all the work that they do on themselves and the things they do to bring that balance and success into their life. So don't judge yourself against other people, just try to be the best person that you can be. And for me personally, healing took time. I didn't wake up one morning and I was healed. When I was a teenager, I basically hadn't been happy my whole childhood, and I really didn't know what it was like to feel loved and secure and honoured and to feel good about myself. So that was a whole lot of years of probably being depressed, and I knew that something had to change because I could not live with this level of pain anymore. So for me, I had a choice, and I had to make the choice whether to stay here on earth or heal, for me personally. And luckily I made the right decision and I decided to work on my healing, and I did that consciously. And I would literally wake up every day and say to myself, and I also have a belief in angels, I'd say, and God, and I'd say, all right, what is it I need to do to heal today? And I'd say that to myself over and over, and I'd follow my gut feeling and I'd do it. So, it's not, I'm a big advocate for counselling with somebody that's got experience. I've done that myself and it was really helpful. But it's also all the little things that you do every day. So some things that are really beneficial are meditation, especially if you feel disassociated from your body. Some people that have been traumatized as children, to deal with the stress of the trauma, they will leave their body so they don't have to be fully present in their body and fully experience the abuse. So I find that meditation, yoga, being around nature, exercising, those kind of things, dancing, those kind of body works can really help connect you to your body. And also, meditation is a great way to live in the present moment and not be focused on what's happened in the past or fearful for the future. You're just appreciating the now. So I think that's a key to healing as well, is just when you become overwhelmed, if you're feeling anxious or depressed, is take some deep breaths and say, okay, all right, okay, let's not worry about what happened, what's going to happen, let's just, what do I need to do right now? In this moment, what can I do to be happy, to be healthy, and do it, go for it. Drugs and alcohol, it's understandable that people go down that path, but it's really just going to get you off track and re-traumatise you. And it may seem like it blocks out or numbs all the effects of the abuse, but all the effects are still there. You're just adding more layers of trauma to you. So, natural, healthy ways, I think that's the way to go. Whatever feels right for you personally.
Yeah, so thank you so much for sharing that. That's very useful, especially the part where you emphasize on the effects of meditation, how being the present, being your body, is useful. So you mentioned meditation, yoga, being in nature, dancing, exercise, body work. And so these are some of the things that people can look forward to reading about in your book. So tell us more about your book, and because, your book will contain a lot more than this radio show, and really support people in working towards healing themselves. And also it can be a gift that people can give to people that they care about. So tell us more about what other tips people can expect from your book.
Yeah, the book goes into a lot more depth about the practical tools. And if I could just quickly say, journaling, writing in a journal and getting all your emotions and thoughts out is a great way to release all that stress from your body as well. So the book's broke in three sections, and the first one is really on understanding child sexual abuse and the power of control and grooming and all that side of things. The second section is on how it affects us, and I break it down into different, the most common psychological issues that I've found in working with people, such as anger issues, eating disorders and anxiety and depression and post-traumatic stress and all that kind of thing. And then the third section is all on how to heal from this. It's all practical tools on what you can actually do to empower yourself, feel good about yourself, and start being a creator of your life. I think what's really important to know is that you can come out of this stronger, you can come out of this more resilient. It's like I love the Wizard of Oz, and Dorothy says the power was always within me, and that's what it's like for all of us. You've got the strength and the power there to create your healing and whatever life you want. And the last section of the book is really just a lot of practical activities and different modalities of healing to just kind of support you on that path of healing.
Yes. So this is Brooke Woon, and you can find her at brookwoon.com. You can also find out about how to purchase her book and to engage with her in her services. And so that's brookwoon.com, and you can find her on Twitter, and her book is also available. So I have a book review of her book on my website as well that you may wish to check out. So yes, so thanks, Brooke Woon, and this is Martha of Eros Evolution and also Eros Coaching. And next week, what I'm going to be doing is summarizing all the past episodes of the last few weeks. So it's a little bit of like a cheat sheet that you can refer to before you decide to listen to the show. So have a great week ahead. And in the meantime, keep having sex and being really positive about healing yourself. We all have to heal. So this is Martha. Bye.